Welcome to another edition of the USF Dons podcast. I'm Brian Professor B. Davis for Arena Sportsnet Bay Area. Welcome to another edition of the USF Dons weekly podcast magazine roundtable. We will talk to Zach Ziegler for the Dons analytics guy. We're going to recap also the weekend series, the recent series. The Dons went 4-0 in the Hilltop Diamond Classic at Benedict Diamond over the weekend last weekend, as the Dons had a great weekend going 4-0 in the first game of that series. The Dons end up winning 5-0 in game one, as Riley Ernesto's 7 innings pitch, giving up one hit, and then him and two other Dons combined on a two-hit shutout. Dons winning that first game. Riley Helen was 3-for-4 with a run scored and a pair of RBIs in that first game. And then in game two on Saturday, game one of the doubleheader, Twin Bill, Dons winning 8-2. Scotty Parker, 6 innings pitch, giving up 3 hits, 2 runs. The Dons busted that game wide open on a big, big 3-run bases clearing double by the catcher Robert Emery, the former San Francisco native and the St. Ignatius High School graduate, had a big 3-run double in the 8th inning. Parker's strikeouts, 7 strikeouts, was the previous record set by, was 5 against the University of Pacific 2 years ago back in 2017. The Dons in this contest stole 5 bases, and Jack Winkler's 12-game hitting streak came to an end. Then on Sunday, or in the second game of that, or I should say it was the second game of that doubleheader, Dons beat Ryder by a score of 5-4, and it was Julian Washburn, 5 innings pitch out of the bullpen, 2 hits, no runs, went all the way. The Dons end up stealing 6 bases in the Twin Bill, and combined 6 bases, they stole, end up stealing 5 in the first game. They stole 1 in the second. 6 games in the 6 stolen bases in the 2 games. And then on Sunday, USF Dons end up winning 4-3 in 11 innings. It was a big 2-out single by Jonathan Allen with 2 outs in the last half of the ninth. And it stayed that way 3-3 until then. John Kersky's suicide squeeze bunt with the bases loaded with 1 out gave him, coming in to score that winning run, was Jacob Westerman. The Dons end up winning that game, go 4-0. And then in that game, Alex Pham, 6 innings pitch, giving up 1 hit with no runs, 11 strikeouts. He got the win in relief, and he end up had 5 shutout innings. He ended up retiring. Personally, he retired 8 of the final 9 hitters. Dons pitchers in the contest retired 28 of the last 29 Highlander hitters coming to the plate. And then on Tuesday night, the Dons traveled down to Fresno to take on the Fresno State Bulldogs from the Mountain West Conference. It was a seesaw back and forth. Dons fell on the short end 8-6. So when we come back, we'll have a talk with Zach Ziegler, the recap of that series, and we'll have a special guest on, Greg Roseland, who did play-by-play over the weekend on the Dons. Talk about, you know, how he tried to get into the business, and we'll have more and so much more. So I'm Brian Professor B. Davis, and we're always remind you that the USF Dons Weekly Magazine Show is presented by Provident Credit Union. Want a free checking account that pays you? Provident Credit Union, the Union Super Reward checking account, pays you 2.1% features and no fees. Visit providentchecking.com. That's providentchecking.com. That's providentchecking.com for more details. And by Park and Fly. Park and Fly has provided more than 50 years of convenient, hassle-free airport parking. Visit PNF.com for discounts on airport parking outside of San Francisco and Oakland. That's PNF.com for Park and Fly. By Lux Bus America, Let Lux Bus American Shuttle Services make the fan out of you. Proudly serving the Bay Area tech companies and USF campus, Lux Bus is the leading choice in community shuttle services and group charter transportation. Get your people moving with Lux Bus America. The USF will also like to thank the following partners for their support of Don's Athletics. USF Bookstore, Fallen, fans, be sure to stop by the USF Bookstore to get all your favorite Don's gear. Wear your green and gold with pride and visit USF Bookstore this week. Open daily, Monday through Friday at 8:30 to 7 p.m., Fridays 8:30 to 5 p.m., Saturdays 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., closed on Sundays. And also by Lyft. Skip the hassle getting back and forth from the Bay Area Diamond or the Sobrato Center. Lyft is our official ride-sharing partner of your transportation covered. Download the Lyft app and get an affordable ride in minutes. New users get $10 off discount in rider credit with the code GOUSFDONS. And don't forget, Dons fans, use the Lyft zones outside Bay Area Diamond and drop off and pick up zones. That's Lyft, the proud partner of USF Dons. And when we come back, we'll talk with Zach Ziegler of the recap of that series over the weekend in the Hilltop Diamond Classic, and we'll preview the West Coast Conference opener versus the Portland Pilots. I'm Brian Professor B. Davis. You're listening to the USF Dons Weekly Podcast on AnchorFM.ASN Bay Area. Okay, we're back here on the USF Dons Weekly Magazine Podcast with the Z-Man, Dr. Zach Ziegler, our baseball analytics, and we got a lot to work with, break down this past weekend. The Dons, five winners of now five of their last six. Their five-game win streak was ended Tuesday night as we're doing this taping. They fell short to the Fresno State Bulldogs from the Mountain West Conference 8-6. But over the weekend, they end up winning on Friday. They win the first game, and then they end up winning by a score of 4-3. Well, they end up winning the first game. They end up winning the second game. And then they end up winning the third and fourth games, including that walk-off on Sunday and after they tied it with two outs in the ninth inning. And what are your thoughts?
Well, we 4-1. That's real good. I think with respect to last night, like the game last night, we're just so taxed pitching. You know, we even had to have Grant Young coming. Grant being one of the weekend starter guys. We didn't have any guys left to finish that game last night. So
tank was out though.
Yeah, the tank was out with respect to the pitching, but it's okay. I think defense would like to be a little bit tighter last night. Pitchers be executing a few more pitches and we win that game. But overall, the weekend was very good. All the things that we've been looking at offensively, you got your mix of damage guys, your on-base guys. You look at players, offensively speaking, that are really stepping up. First of all, Jack Winkler's playing at a phenomenal level. Rob Emery's been stepping up.
Big three-run bases clearing double on over the weekend on the series.
Yeah, Rob leads one of our offensive metrics that we use to measure damage. Rob's doing a phenomenal job. Riley Ornito threw another great game. All as well, I would say. I'd say the defense was tight. Everything that we're looking at, we're scoring runs in a diversified fashion, like we've talked before. I really think, we're trying to just monitor the freshman pitchers as closely as possible.
Yes,
Ryan Hecker did some very good things against Riverside on Sunday. I think, in his first start against San Jose State, he had some of those first start nerves. But he's a competitor. He wants the ball in those situations. And, he's got the stuff. You know, hitters have talked about it. Picking up his pitches is not an easy task. And then Casey Koppelma did some good things last night against Fresno. I think he went an inning and two thirds. Casey was out there right in the middle of the downpour. I'm not making excuses for him, but he's getting poured on out there when he was pitching.
The rain must have been coming up there through Central California.
Yeah. So, you know, he was trying to deal with that. Once again, I'm not making excuses for him, but, you know, he had that wicked, you know, we were looking at it right now in that first inning. He's throwing this curveball with two strikes, and all their guys were swinging and missing at it. So the breaking ball was very good with two strikes. I think if you just watch him, he had a presence on the mound, or at least that's how it looked like on TV. But I thought, you know, overall, I think offensively speaking, we keep up what we're doing offensively. We're feeling a lot better than we were 2 weeks ago. The strikeouts, the trend is down. Putting more balls into play. We're hitting for more damage. And I think we're getting contributions from guys that, not to say that you wouldn't expect them to contribute as much as they have, but it's a good thing to see. Rob Emery's, the Jack Winklers of the world, guys like Riley Helland, Nick Jovetic, we got to get those guys going.
John Kurski, I mean, laying down a great, one of those old school, from my era, Roger Craig, Hum Baby, Suicide Squeeze play, but this was with the bases loaded with one out.
Yeah.
With nobody out, I mean, in the ninth inning. I mean, every opportunity right there, multiple ways you could to win it. I mean, with no outs and everything, the stars well aligned, and he laid down a bunt. And the key to that was they switched their regular first baseman to the outfield, and they inserted the other first baseman into the game, part of the double switch. And it was kind of, you know, I was talking with John a little while ago as we're doing this taping. I said, only use that when we really desperately need it. Don't overcook it.
Yeah.
Only use it when the time is right to use that suicide squeeze in a situation with the bags loaded, with the game tied, in that situation when you need one run for a walk-off win.
Well, you know, he's a very detail-oriented player. Kresge, you know, something like that, he's going to take pride in whatever he does. I think you see that, especially with the glove. Defensively speaking, he's as good as it gets over there, first base. He's just a very detail-oriented guy. The coach asked him to do something like that. He's going to execute the details. He's going to get it done.
I'm like a big power hitter, I would have probably done the same thing, because I don't want to, you know, I want to go home.
Well, they didn't see it coming, that's for sure. And we did go home. That's good.
Well, they went home too on the bus back to UC Riverside in total dejection on a long, long bus ride back to UC Riverside.
Yeah. That probably wasn't the best bus ride.
No, it was not. It was not. I mean, and they were in. I mean, and then they lost a heartbreaker in that first game against UC Ryder. Ryder played very well.
Yeah, they came out here. They came out here this weekend from the East Coast. They're gutsy. I think you look at their club. They came in here with no fear. They're not going to give in.
They were not intimidated at all.
Not intimidated at all.
Not once.
They gave us two great games. They beat Riverside twice. They're going to have a good year. They keep playing the way they're playing. They're scrappy.
I think if they were, you know, that could help us, because let's say they do well in their conference tournament and they win the conference, and we think if everything aligns and goes in our way, that's a good quality RPI win versus them.
Yeah, that's true. That could turn out to help us later in the year.
But now with all that done, we're going to forward look towards now Portland Pilots, who are the Dons' opponent this weekend. And this is a much improved Pilot team. They improved last year. They got new facility upgrades over there in the, up there in the beautiful Pacific Northwest, which speculations they're trying to build a major league ballpark for a team up there in the Pacific Northwest. Could be a via expansion team, or a team could relocate up there.
Yeah, you know, they're off to a very good start right now. We're going through all the scouting reports right now. We're going to have to play well. They're going to come in here. They're not going to give in. We're going to have to do the things that we need to do. We're going to need to follow this recipe that we've cooked up the last week and a half or so with respect to scoring runs in a diversified fashion, playing defensively sound baseball, and then pitching it well. And, you know, Scott Parker had another phenomenal outing. Grant Young boxed, but I think he got us 4 or 5 innings on Saturday. I'm sorry. Just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and then that's going to be a very interesting game this weekend. That's going to be interesting to start off on WCC play.
Yeah, you want to start the year strong. You want to at least win the series. I mean, if you could take 3, that'd be ideal. But you want to start conference play on the right foot, that's for sure. And then, you know, I don't want to jump the gun too much, but you go from Portland to San Diego, and I know we'll talk about San Diego next week, but they've
got some quality wins. I mean, they had a win against TCU. They ended up beating St. John's, where Joe Panic played his collegiate ball there.
Yeah.
They're
looking good.
I mean, the Dons are also doing their stretcher now, are in the second leg of this 8-game homestand and 9 home games. I mean, they'll be playing, or actually the final leg of it, they'll be playing Portland for 3. Then, you know, you look at this stretch, though the Dons are in the Bay Area, the only time in which is that they're in the stretch of 1-2. In 5 or 6 out of the next 7 weeks, the Dons will be within that range of being in the Bay Area or Central California.
Yeah, including Santa Clara.
And Pacific, even though they're in Stockton in the Valley, but it's like an hour and a half, 90-minute drive. So
yeah, it's a rock throw away.
I mean, but I think it's 4 of the next 5 weeks they're going to be, you know.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity. I mean, you look at the stand. I mean, right now you look at the standings. Right now, I mean, Santa Clara, they're once again out of the gate, struggling with 7 straight losses. I mean, but this was a team last year that did some major damaging at the Dons' chances of winning the WCC outright for the regular season.
Right.
And, you know, this is going to be a stretch where the Dons could get some good wins, but San Diego's going to be a big test coming up.
Yeah, I think it all starts with Portland this weekend, and, you know, I think this is the mood with the club. You know, we understand what we need to do to win, the things that we need to do. You do those things, you win.
Okay, Zach, and one more thing before we how about Alex Pham?
Oh, man. Yeah,
6 innings pitch. One hit, and he had close to a full dozen, Baker's dozen strikeouts with 11.
He's got Alex, man, you know.
Give me some stuff on him on the analytics.
Yeah, I remember talking to him in the fall, and he's dealing with a shoulder, and I was, you know, because I heard he's got the wicked slider with the fastball that's got up and coming velocity. I think that, you know, we're looking at swing and miss rates, whatnot. That slider, just guys aren't hitting it. They're not even putting the ball in play. This thing just falls off the face of the earth. and then he's got the fastball that is up and coming in velocity. And like you said, he had 12 Ks in six innings.
Yeah, 11.
11.
Close to a baker's dozen. He was one strike away from a full baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Like 12 eggs. So,
yeah. You know. Yeah, exactly. Now Alex has put in the work. He's looking great.
And I think it shows you it paid off right there. And another stat, Don's pitchers retired 28 of the last 29 highlighters, and Fam retired 8 of the last 9 alone.
Yeah, I went up to Coach Matt Heiserman after the game. I'm like, hey, Matt, you know your pitchers threw six innings of a perfect game. And he's like, yeah, I know.
Six of the seven, and only gave up one hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's an example of pitchers executing their pitches, defense playing well. You make all the plays and then score runs.
And also, I mean, he didn't look like he had no soreness out there when I interviewed him on our post-game recap on Sunday.
Yeah, no. You think of it. Maybe if we'd held him back a little bit on Sunday, maybe we would have had him last night. But
he needed the rest. He needed the rest. Don't overcook that.
We're all in on Portland right now.
I think that's the key. To start off the game on the right note. They got off to a great start last year and kind of lifted the finish line. This is going to be very key. BYU is going to be in that mix. San Diego, St. Mary's, they got all their weekend starters back. It's going to be very something. Because the Dons, the schedule kind of fits in pretty good because the next five game series are here at home or in the Bay Area, and the bus ride, of course, in 2 weeks from Friday down to Santa Clara.
Oh yeah, it's exciting. We're playing. I think offensively speaking, we're measuring out pretty well. We just got to keep it up.
Okay, thanks, Z. And we're going to talk to you again next week.
Oh, yeah, every Wednesday night.
All right. That's Zach Ziegler, the Mr. Z. He's Dr. Z, the baseball analytics for USF. And I'm Brian, Professor E. Davis. And you're watching ASN Bay Area's on the USF Dons Weekly Magazine on ASN Bay Area. When we come back, we will have an interview with Greg Rosslyn. He's going to be our next guest on the pregame. Did the Dons baseball on the W.TV over the weekend. We'll interview him. Talk about broadcasting. That's coming up next. You're listening to USF Dons Weekly Magazine on anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. Welcome here on our Dons podcast. We're doing an interview with Greg Rosland, doing some weekend play-by-play. And so far this series, as we're doing this taping, we have Ryder versus UC Riverside. We're getting ready for the second game, Dons and UC Riverside coming up as we're doing this taping. So how you been, though? Welcome.
Yeah, it's appreciate you having me on, B-Dog, and it's been a really fun weekend for USF in particular. Riley Ornito on Friday setting the tone with 7 innings of one-hit ball, 10 strikeouts. You and I were here watching that. He was just absolutely masterful. And then yesterday, being able to win in the manner in which they did, a really good performance from Scott Parker in Game 1, and then just a tremendous relief outing from Julian Washburn in Game 2. So I think the consistent thing for the Dons across the weekend is that they've gotten one stellar performance from each guy on each day.
Yeah, so we're doing right now. It's it feels like Ryder is kind of mimicking our side of the dugout, though, as they're up 4-2 as we're doing this taping. We're in the top of the ninth inning. In fact, the game has just ended, so Ryder wins 4-2. But how you like your doing your play-by-play with the Dodgers? How you got hooked up with the gig?
knew somebody that had done games here before, reached out, was able to do some games here last year, and then repeated again this year while Pat Olson, the voice of Don's baseball, is on the road with basketball. Unfortunate loss for the men's basketball team last night against Pepperdine, but have had a lot of fun. Really enjoy the people here. This baseball program is the pride of the city, and I am just absolutely thrilled to just be able to put on a headset and call some baseball games.
This is my 21st year doing covering the USF Dons, and I've done a little part-time on when they're playing some road games, though, because we don't have a full, play-by-play guy, so, the audio cast version. But, so how you got into this broadcasting?
Wanted to do it when I was young, had an outlet to do it when I was in college, decided when I was a sophomore it was something that I wanted to do professionally, and that's really how it got started. Worked in the minor leagues for the last 4 years, so I'm going to do so again this year, and just fell in love with putting on the headset when I was very early in college, and when I got to that junior year, I decided I got to take this seriously. This is something I want to do professionally.
I think I had wanted to do some radio personal radio when I was in high school, when I was 18, because I grew up being a big KNBR fan. You mentioned Pat Olson. Pat Olson was at KNBR when I was a kid during my high school teenage years, and he always did Giants pregame show on KNBR. He was the voice of the Dons, doing basketball, me and my best friend since we go back to, preschool or kindergarten. We catch a few USF basketball games. One of the guys named Orlando Smart just got inducted to the West Coast Conference Hall of Fame. And for a while I wanted to play a little baseball. And I knew if I was going to be a pro in baseball, I wanted to stick around the game in some different capacity. And if it's not, definitely behind the field on the microphone, though.
I think if you love the game, you want to find a way to stay involved with it in any which way that you can, whether it be broadcasting it, writing about it, working as a field staff member. I think that baseball is a game that breeds true love for the appreciation of the sport. And so you'll do anything to stay around it. I know that's how you feel, that's how I feel, and that's how I'm going to continue to feel, because baseball was my favorite sport growing up. It made me into the sports fan that I am today. And my appreciation of the purity of the game is what I believe is the most important part about why baseball is, to this day, the truest game that there is.
Absolutely, because, my favorite two sports is baseball and football. We mentioned yesterday you're a Chicago Bear fan because your parents or your dad's from Chicago. And I grew up being a 49er fan, born and raised here in the city. And it's funny because I was going to play football my senior year in high school, and the coach wouldn't let me do it because, I've never played a full contact, and I think it was a good thing because of the concussion rates. So then baseball, I stuck with baseball, and then it's funny because I came here in 1999. I was doing this job opportunities thing when they're doing landscaping and stuff, and I just could do that for the rest of my life. So my first year with the Dons was 1999. I was 22 year old, and Nino took over this program, and they were going through a transition. So I think this, but then I just absorbed as a fan for like the first year. The second year, I think once that program over there, other program had disbanded, I just decided, well, I'm going to be a field reporter for full time. And I think I started as a freelancer blogger, and then have upgraded ever since, doing weekly recaps, and then doing. And then 2004, I started doing the TV thing. Another good mentor of mine, named Idell Wilson, said, Brian, you should be doing TV. And I said, I really was shy of the TV, but then I did like a pilot for my show, for her show called Ideal 03. And then that kind of, started my show, a series called Frisco Nation in the mid-2000s in 2004. So then I said, well, in 2006, when the Dons went to the year they went to their first conference, won the first conference title, and they went to the NCAA regionals and then at large bid, I started doing a weekly show called USF Dons Inside Pitch, and then kind of really in recent years, a really upgrade. We also did have gone some road games here in the Bay Area, and I've been to a few. I've not been to a full regional yet, but I've done two West Coast Conference tournaments. I've covered two teams that two Don's teams either won the conference outright or got a share of the West Coast Conference for a regular season. So, and then last year, so I've been, and it's been a good ride for me.
I think that one of the best parts about what Coach Giratano has been able to build this program is consistency. You see guys come in here, play all 4 years. You see guys who come in as junior college transfers, like a Jonathan Allen per se, and make a big impact right away. And you look up at the Wall of Fame, you see Kyle Zimmer, Bradley Zimmer, Scott Cousins, Jesse Fopper, a lot of guys who have done tremendous work here. And Brian, really appreciate you having me on. We're just about set.
That's right. We're getting ready for Don's Baseball coming up, and we're doing the taping. Thank you for being on, and you're welcome to come on in the future. I hope you'll be out here doing some games.
Hope to be back, B-Dog. Thank you, man.
All right, that's Doug Roseland. Don's being the acting play-by-play man, and I'm Brian Davis here at the ballpark here at Bay Day Diamond. It's USF Don's Baseball. And on the Don's Weekly Podcast Magazine. Well, we continue here on the Don's Weekly Magazine as we now go look into the D1 baseball, or actually first that, we'll look into the D1 baseball top 25 around college baseball and beyond, and the top 25 teams presented by D1Baseball.com. Number one is the Vanderbilt Commodores. From the SEC, then it's UCLA ranked second, North Carolina from the Atlantic Coast Conference ranked third, Oregon State 4, Florida State 5th, Stanford 6th, Mississippi State 7th, Louisville 8, the Georgia Bulldogs 9, Ole Miss 10, Florida State 11, Texas is at 12, LSU 13, Texas Tech 14, Arkansas 15, Michigan 16, Coastal Carolina 17, East Carolina 18, Auburn 19, then it's Texas Tech at 20, Baylor 21, NC State 22, TSU 23, 24th South Carolina, and Tennessee cracking into the top 25 polls. Now, in the other news around, let's go around the West Coast Conference. And it's going to be this weekend for the opening weekend series. It's going to be BYU, who is 12-3 right now. They'll take on the Gonzaga Bulldogs, the defending West Coast Conference tournament champions who won it last year. And, of course, BYU is on a six-game winning streak. They'll take on the Gonzaga Bulldogs at Patterson Baseball Complex up in Spokane, Washington. The San Diego Toreros are also on a six-game winning streak and have some great quality wins. They'll take on their longtime West Coast Conference rival, the Pepperdine Waves, down at Fowler Park in San Diego. The Toreros have won 8 of their last 9, including a 6-game winning streak. And St. Mary's, who should be in the race this year, they'll be at Luis Guisto Field up in the East Bay of Moraga. They will take on the Pacific Tigers from the UOP Pacific Tigers in Moraga this weekend. Then the Loyola Marymount Lions will be at home at Page Stadium. They will open up. They will be open up against Santa Clara, who are sitting right now with 7 straight losses, a 3-12 record. The Dons, of course, they'll be playing San Diego next weekend, and then 2 weeks from Friday, they'll begin a weekend series down at Schott Stadium in Santa Clara. And the Broncos are out of the gate on a very sour note. And also, just a reminder, also coming up, the Dons will be playing the Portland Pilots, one of the more improving teams in the West Coast Conference in recent times. They will take on the Portland Pilots for first of a 3-game weekend series this weekend. And game one of the series will be Friday, and the first pitch will be at 3 p.m. Friday. Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. The game can be seen on usfdons.com via the w.tv. Pat Olson will most likely be the probable play-by-play, depending on the outcome. Most likely he will be doing play-by-play for the weekend series. So Friday will be at 3 p.m., Game 1, Games 2 and 3, Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. And if you plan to come out to the ballpark on Saturday, we know that there's going to be a St. Patrick's Day big parade downtown on Market Street, down in the downtown area in San Francisco on Market Street, and there's going to be a lot of traffic reroute. So if you have plans to come out to the Hilltop, please give yourself some extra time and avoid the downtown area with all the St. Patrick's Day parade and all the St. Patrick's Day festivities in the downtown area all the way up through Civic Center this weekend in San Francisco. So make some extra time accordingly if you got plans to come up to the Hilltop to see the Dons. And you can catch those games on usfdons.com via the W.TV. Pat Olson will give you the play-by-play in action as he is your voice of USF Dons baseball. And a reminder, next Tuesday night, the Dons will travel to the East Bay. They'll take on the California Golden Bears from the Pac-12 Conference over at Evans Diamond in Berkeley. And that will be a 6 p.m. first pitch. And we're going to give you that game audio casted on Arena Sportsnet Bay Area as the Dons will take on the California Golden Bears in their midweek non-conference action. The game will also be seen on the Pac-12 network, so you get a chance to see it. It will also be on the Pac-12 network, and we don't know who's going to be doing play-by-play for that game. So you get a chance to see the game either on Pac-12 network or you can listen on Arena Sportsnet Bay Area. We'll give you the live stream audio cast. So there you have it. And that's it for this week's edition of ASN Bay Area Podcast. One more note from other USF Athletics news. The USF Dons men's basketball team, their fate will be determined where they'll be playing for the postseason, most likely with their late season finishing the season with four straight losses, including a one-and-done loss to Pepperdine in the West Coast Conference Tournament last Saturday night down in Las Vegas, ends any hopes of possibly going to the NCAA tournament. The Dons most likely will be seeing if they have a chance to maybe go to the NIT. The selection show for the NCAA regionals and NIT selection will be this Sunday. That'll be on Sunday. Go to NCAA.com or .org or check back in at USFDons.com for more information on where will the Dons will be playing. I talked to some people today. They will not accept another berth to the CBI, so it's pretty much the best case. Either it's NIT or nothing. So we hope, we wish good luck to the Dons. If any to the Dons, probably I still have a good shot at best to go to an NIT berth. And congratulations also to the St. Mary's Gales, who upset the top-ranked Gonzaga Bulldogs in the West Coast Conference Tournament Final, as the St. Mary's Gales win it by a score of 60-47. So the St. Mary's Gales get that IMAG bid to the NCAA Tournament down in, and they will wait where they'll be headed for the NCAA Tournament next weekend. That's it for me for now. I'm Brian Professor B. Davis. We'd like to thank all of our guests. We thank, you know, Zach Ziegler, our baseball analytics, and Greg Roseland, the Dons play-by-play man, did Dons baseball. We had a great chat with him last weekend before the Dons against the UC Riverside Islanders. And we'd like to thank everybody on USFDons.com or USF Dons on the network, on the Arena Sports Network. As we like to say, as again, the USF Dons weekly podcast magazine presented by Provident Credit Union. Want a free checking account that pays you? Provident Credit Union, the Union Super Reward checking account, pays you 2.1% and features no annual fees. Visit providentchecking.com. That's providentchecking.com for more details. By Park and Fly. Park and Fly has provided more than 50 years of convenient, hassle-free airport parking. Visit PNF.com for discounts on airport parking outside the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Area. That's PNF.com for Park and Fly. By Lux Bus America. Let Lux Bus America's shuttle services make a fan out of you. Proudly serving the Bay Area tech companies and USF campus, Lux Bus is the leading choice in commuter shuttle services and group charter transportation. Get your people moving with Lux Bus America. USF would like to thank the following partners for Don's Athletics. Also by the USF Bookstore in Follett. Fans, be sure you stop by the USF Bookstore to get all of your favorite Don's gear. Wear your green and gold with pride. Visit the USF Bookstore, open daily, Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. or Monday through Thursday, 8:30 to 7 p.m. Fridays, 8:30 to 5 p.m. Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Closed on Sundays. And by Lyft, skip the hassle of getting from Benedetti Diamond. Lyft is our official rideshare partner and has your transportation covered. Download the Lyft app and get an affordable ride in minutes. New users get $10 in ride discounts with the code GOUSFDONS. And don't forget, Dons fans, use the Lyft fly zones outside Benedetti Diamond as drop-off and pickup zones. Use Lyft, proud partner of the USF Dons. Well, that's going to do it for me for this another edition of USF Dons Inside Podcast. Once again, the Dons are back in action this weekend to take on the Portland Pilots on the hilltop here at Benedetti Diamond. Friday will be at 3 p.m., Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. And if you got plans to come to the game on Saturday, please make sure you make some extra time for yourself because of the St. Patrick's Day parade and festivities in the artery of the downtown area all the way up through Civic Center right near on the edge of City Hall in San Francisco. If you got plans to come into the area, please avoid the downtown area and make some extra time for yourself. Games will, if you like to purchase your tickets for Dons Baseball, as always, go to usfdons.com/tickets or call the USF Dons box office at 415-422-2USF. That's 415-422-2USF. The Dons box office is open daily, Monday through Friday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And a reminder, this is the beginning of the West Coast Conference season. Remember, the top four teams of the West Coast Conference will earn that berth to the West Coast Conference Tournament, which will be for the seventh annual tournament for the seventh straight year, will be May 23rd to the 25th at Barron Island Park in Stockton, California. The top four teams will get the earn a spot in the tournament to compete for the West Coast Conference Tournament, which get them the automatic berth to the NCAA Regionals coming in June. And we'd like to thank you for all of you for listening to the USF Dons podcast, Dons magazine show, weekly roundtable. I'm Brian Davis. And for the latest news on USF Dons athletics, go to usfdons.com. And for all the news and all Dons or on West Coast Conference sports news, go to wccsports.com. The Dons are on Twitter at Dons Athletics and on Instagram as well, and facebook.com/university.of.sanfranciscobaseball. And you can check us out, all of our podcasts on the weekly roundtable at anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area. That's anchor.fm/ASN Bay Area, and on facebook.com/ASN Bay Area and facebook.com/Professor B Media. And you check me out on my Twitter at Twitter Brian Davis at ASN Bay Area. That's it for now. I'm Brian, Professor B. Davis. Thank you for listening to the Dons Weekly Roundtable for this evening. We'll have a join us next week for another edition of the USF Dons Weekly Roundtable. I'm Brian, Professor B. Davis. And so long. USF Dons Weekly Roundtable is an association with ASN Bay Area and Professor B. Media Communications, LLC. Where every team has a fan, and every fan has a voice, the network home of champions. Take care, everybody.